Could Joseph Smith have borrowed Mahijah and Mahujah from the Book of Giants, Moses 6:40, Book of Moses Insight, number 7? As Hugh Nibley was finishing the concluding August 1977 article in his long-running series on ancient Enoch manuscripts in Moses 6:7 for the Inside magazine, he received, just in time, the anxiously awaited English translation of the fragments of the Aramaic books of Enoch from Cave 4 at Qumran. In his article, Nibley was the first to suggest a remarkable correspondence between the Book of Giants character named Mahweh and the names Mahujah and Mahijah in the Book of Moses. In this insight, we describe this finding in more detail. A remarkable correspondence. In Joseph Smith's story of Enoch, Mahijah appears out of nowhere as the only named character in the account besides Enoch himself. And there came a man unto him whose name was Mahijah, and said unto him, Tell us plainly who thou art, and from whence thou comest. Moses 6:40. Later in the account, the similar name Mahujah appears. Curiously, in the Masoretic Hebrew text of the Bible, the name variants Mahijael, with the name El, the suffix of El representing the name of God, and Mahujael, both appear in a single verse of the King James Bible as references to the same person. Curiously, because the King James translation renders both variants of the Hebrew name identically in English, Joseph Smith would have had to access and interpret the Hebrew text to see that there were two versions of the name, similar to the two versions found in the Book of Moses. But there is no evidence that he or anyone else associated with the translation of Moses 6 and 7 knew how to read Hebrew at that time, or for that matter, even had access to a Hebrew Bible. It should be observed that Joseph Smith was well aware that the biblical book of Jude explicitly cites Enoch, even if he evinced no knowledge of 1st Enoch, the source Jude was quoting. If Joseph Smith had actually been looking for ways to bolster the case for the authenticity of his Bible translation, the most obvious thing he could have done would have been to include the relevant verses from Jude somewhere within his Enoch account. But this the prophet did not do. Were the names Mahweh, Mahujah, and Mahijah simply copied from the Bible? A possible historical explanation for the similarity of the Book of Moses and Book of Giants names is that Joseph Smith and the Qumran author independently created remarkably similar names for an important character in their respective accounts. One might well ask, what are the chances that they would have come up with these closely resembling names independently? Even if, for a moment, we were to grant the hypothesis that Joseph Smith created the name directly or indirectly through his knowledge of Genesis 4:18, why did he pick this name for the account instead of some other? If it were an arbitrary choice, why did he not pick out Irad or Methusael or the more prominent Lamech from the same verse, or some other name from the surrounding verses instead? Why is Mahujah the only named character in the Enoch chapters of the Book of Moses, apart from Enoch himself, and also the only other plausibly biblically related name besides Enoch in the Book of Giants as well? Going further, one of the most important parallels in the Book of Giants and the Book of Moses names is that, in contrast to the biblical name, they both lack the theophoric element El. If Joseph Smith derived the names Mahujah and Mahijah by adopting them from Genesis 4:18, why wouldn't he, for the sake of consistency, have dropped the El in his translation of the Bible verse itself? And instead, if he were deliberately trying to create a new and distinctive name with the theophoric ending Yah, what sufficiently important purpose would have served for him to go to that trouble? Moreover, since the author of the Book of Giants was apparently not completely bound to written tradition and had the liberty to include names unattested elsewhere, such as Oyah and Haya, to facilitate wordplay, as some have suggested, why wouldn't he have invented a name that was more similar to the other two instead of the more distinctive name Mahweh? And why would Joseph Smith, who has sometimes drawn criticism for the many new names that have been included in his scriptural translations, have been averse to making up just one more? Instead, both authors are without a viable explanation for motive, putatively seen as creating a name that is coincidentally very similar to the one found in the same biblical verse, then using these modified names to serve as a moniker for a prominent player who just happens to function in an analogous role within two independent accounts of the prophet Enoch. Salvatore Cirillo's explanation for the origin of the names. Some non-Latter-day Saints have taken notice of the striking nature of the resemblance of these prominent names in the Book of Moses and the Book of Giants. For example, in his master's thesis at the University of Durham, Salvatore Cirillo, drawing upon the similar conclusions of the well-known Book of Giants scholar Lauren Stukenbrook, considers the names of the Gibberim, notably including Mahweh, as the most conspicuously independent content in the Book of Giants, being unparalleled in other Jewish literature. Moreover, according to Cirillo, the name Mahweh in the Book of Giants and the names Mahujah and Mahijah in the Book of Moses represent the strongest similarity between the Latter-day Saint revelations on Enoch and the pseudepigraphal books of Enoch, specifically the Book of Giants. Arguing in strong terms that Joseph Smith must have known about the Book of Giants as he prepared the Book of Moses account of Enoch, Cirillo writes, quote, Nibley's own point is that Mahujah and Mahijah from the Book of Moses share their name with Mahweh in the Book of Giants is further evidence that influence from pseudepigraphal books of Enoch occurred in Joseph Smith's Enoch writings, end of quote. What goes conspicuously unmentioned in Cirillo's arguments for the influence of the Aramaic Enoch text on Moses 6 and 7 is that, apart from 1st Enoch, none of the significant Jewish Enoch manuscripts were available in an English translation during Joseph Smith's lifetime. It is baffling that Cirillo's strongest arguments for the prophets having been influenced by ancient Enoch's pseudepigrapha comes from the Qumran Book of Giants, a work that was not discovered until 1948. Cirillo does not attempt to explain how a manuscript that was unknown until the mid-20th century could have influenced the account of Enoch in the Book of Moses, written in 1830. Matthew Black's explanation for the origin of the names. The only known attempt to explain how a manuscript discovered in 1948 could have influenced Joseph Smith's translation of the Book of Moses in 1830 comes from a remembrance by two individuals about the well-known Aramaic scholar Matthew Black, who collaborated with Joseph Millick in the first translation of the fragments of the Book of Giants into English in 1976. Black certainly knew enough about ancient Hebrew and Aramaic to have recognized whether the Book of Moses names Mahujah and Mahijah were reasonable English equivalents to the Book of Giants, Mahweh. Black was approached by doctoral candidate Gordon C. Thomason after a guest lecture at Cornell University during a year that Black spent at the Institute of Advanced Studies at Princeton in 1977 and 78. According to Thomason's account, quote, I asked Professor Black if he was familiar with Joseph Smith's Enoch text. He said he was not, but was interested. He first asked if it was identical or similar to 1st Enoch. I told him it was not, and then proceeded to recite some of the correlations. Dr. Hugh Nibley had shown, with Millick and Black's own and others' Qumran and Ethiopic Enoch materials. Black became quiet. When I got to Mahujah, he raised his hand in a pleased pause gesture and was silent. Finally, he acknowledged that the name Mahujah could not have come from 1st Enoch. He then formulated a hypothesis, consistent with his lecture, that a member of one of the esoteric groups he had described previously, in other words, clandestine groups who had maintained sub rosa, a religious tradition based on the writings of Enoch that predated Genesis, must have survived into the 19th century, and hearing of Joseph Smith must have brought the group's Enoch text to New York from Italy for the prophet to translate and publish. At the end of our conversation, Black expressed an interest in seeing more of Hugh's work. I proposed that he should meet with Hugh, gave him the contact information, and he contacted Hugh the same day, as Hugh later confirmed to me. Soon Black made a previously unplanned trip to Provo, where he met with Hugh for the first time. Black also gave a public guest lecture, but as I was told, in that public forum would not entertain questions on Moses, end of quote. Hugh Nibley recorded a conversation with Matthew Black that apparently occurred near the end of the latter's 1977 visit to BYU. Nibley asked Black if he had an explanation for the appearance of the name Mahujah in the Book of Moses, and reported his answer as follows. Well, someday we will find out the source that Joseph Smith used. A more satisfying explanation for the origin of the names. During the intervening years, no documentary evidence has surfaced that bears out Black's unsupported hypothesis that Joseph Smith somehow obtained access to an Enoch manuscript like the Book of Giants from an esoteric religious group in Europe. On the other hand, during the same span of time, much additional evidence has come forth linking Joseph Smith's revelation about Enoch to a variety of relevant ancient textual traditions, notably including many from the Book of Giants. The Mahuja-Mahaija parallel is just one of many ancient connections for which there is no completely satisfying historical explanation. In our view, the idea is that these correspondences have come by coincidence or through borrowing and alteration is unconvincing. Instead, we are persuaded that they are due to a common ancient tradition that predates both texts, as Matthew Black apparently felt compelled to believe. In contrast to the idea that the Book of Giants is almost exclusively dependent on the Bible and First Enoch, current scholarship sees hints of more ancient and complex roots for the text than were once acknowledged. For example, André Caco, among other scholars, has argued that, quote, the reference to Gilgamesh in the Book of Giants argues for the original in an Eastern diaspora, end of quote. Consistent with this idea, Nahum Sarna and Richard Hess, following Umberto Casuto, suggested that the name Mahweh might be explained on the basis of Akkadian Mahu, denoting a certain class of priests and seers. And what was the role of these seers? Among other things, the royal archives of the old Babylonian kingdom of Mari recount the comings and goings of Mahu as intermediaries and messengers, bearing words of warning from the gods for the king, a role that is arguably similar to that of Mahweh. Further strengthening Casuto's argument for the derivation of the name is the agreement he finds in the word Mahu behind Mahujael, the name of Mahujael's son Mathusael, a name that is analogous not only in form but also in meaning, and the name of Mahujael's grandson Lamech, which Casuto seems likely to have come from the Mesopotamian word Numahu, also signifying a certain class of priests. Significantly, Hess reports that while the root LMK is unknown in West Semitic, it is found both in 3rd millennium BCE personal names and in names from Mari in Old Babylon in the early 2nd millennium BCE. In summary, though additional possibilities may yet be found, scholars have already identified what seems to be an attractive option for a common Akkadian root behind the similar names in the Bible, the Book of Giants, and the Book of Moses. In light of such a suggestion, is it possible that Mahujael, Mahweh, Mahuja, and Mahaija were independently derived from the same or similar roots, having come down to the author through extra-canonical traditions rather than merely borrowed from the Bible? At present, we do not see any reason why this plausible scenario should be ruled out. Conclusion: ancient names restored through revelation. After a review of the evidence, readers may understandably question whether the names Mahuja and Mahaija were merely borrowed and adapted from the Bible. This scenario makes it hard to account for the surprisingly specific parallels between these names in the Book of Moses and the name Mahweh from the Book of Giants. Could Joseph Smith have been aware of the names through an unknown Aramaic manuscript to the Book of Giants that was translated into English and secretly made available to him before its discovery by scholars at Qumran in 1948? Were the names somehow transferred to Joseph Smith through an unknown esoteric group, as Professor Black proposed? Once again, purely historical explanations disappoint. Such proposals are based purely on speculation and can provide no answers about the identity of these putative collaborators and how they stumbled upon such a manuscript and why they secretly translated it into English and made it available to Joseph Smith, and how the prophet either hid this fraud from his associates or persuaded them to collude with him. As the chain of required conjectures grows, their cumulative likelihood diminishes. A more convincing conclusion, in our view, is that these names, along with other evidences of antiquity in the Book of Moses' Enoch account, were directly restored from the ancient world through the process of divine revelation.